You're listening to A Glimpse Inside on the Super Power Up Network, the show that affirms for people there is more to life, and it is possible to be happy, inspired, successful, joyous, and free.
Welcome to A Glimpse Inside. I'm Wendy Perotti. You're listening to episode 2 of our 4-part series on the side gig explosion. If you've been starting a business, or you're in the throes of getting one rolling and missed episode 1, it's called Who Do I Think I Am Starting a Business, I suggest you go back and have a listen. No matter where you are in the process, whether you're just considering and noodling some ideas or whether you're really up in it, you will find comfort in knowing that we all wonder what the hell we're doing sometimes, and that the solutions to those stuck spots are just as universal. My guest today is working on overcoming obstacles as a solopreneur herself. But before we hop in with Beth, let's review the rules of the game here on the A Glimpse Inside coaching episodes. This is a no advice, no judgment zone. We're here to experience one another as whole, spectacular beings capable of absolutely anything. The goal of coaching is to give us the space to play with the messy insides of our minds, to shine a light on what's hidden, untangle what's unclear, and inspire the individual creativity and innovations that lie inside each of us. Just like the toddler learning to crawl or stand, walk, run, this is a process of growth, and it takes time, my friends. It takes persistence, and it requires your willingness to accept the joy in even the tiniest of building blocks. And while change may be constant in our lives, growth only happens in one direction. Nothing in nature ungrows, and neither will you. Welcome, Beth. I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm really honored to be here and spend this time with you.
I'm so grateful for you to agree to do this work on the show so that other people can benefit from your process.
Well, you know, one of the things that's really important to me through this process and really any process is the ability to share. So, you know, being able to share my, you know, sort of my story and how I got to where I am today and, you know, sort of the ongoing challenges of it all. I'm happy to have the opportunity to do that.
I totally appreciate that. Thank you. And that is a perfect segue to my first question. What's important for us to know about you, Beth, before we start coaching?
Well, I guess the personal sort of mixes in, crosses paths with the professional in the sense that I'm 53 years old and I'm a widow, and it's coming up on 10 years actually this summer that my husband died suddenly. He was killed in an accident, car accident. I have two children, 27 and 21 now, so they were 11 and 17 when that tragedy took place. So as you can imagine, our lives were completely tossed around, and not sure that they will ever find their way completely back up. But you know, we're all doing well, and we've certainly come a very long way. Part of that for me was getting the help that I needed immediately, and I had taken a backseat to my full-time career. Prior to my husband's death, I just was burnt out. I had been working full-time since I, you know, got out of college back in the 80s. And I stayed with the same company for 17 years. I worked in commercial real estate development. And, you know, it was kind of the late 80s. It was the time when For in commercial real estate anyway, I can only speak to that honestly, but I know from other people's experiences, but in commercial real estate, and it is still today, a very male-dominated industry. So back then, I was actually so grateful to land I actually took a secretarial position with this development company, and I was the 11th employee. And when I left, you know, close to 20 years later, there were almost 300. So I rode the wave pretty nicely, and I worked my way up to vice president of corporate marketing.
Wow, that's a long way up.
It was a long way up. You know, I fought my way. I mean, again, being one of very few girls in general in the company for a long time, but then in any type of a leadership role or a management role, what I did was, and I don't think I really thought so much about it at the time, but I really enjoy reflecting on it and sharing it, you know, with my daughter and her friends and other young people professionally now, is I worked in every department. So whenever there was an opening, and because we were small and I had, you know, a really great relationship with everybody, whenever there was an opening, if they didn't come to me about the opening, I went to them. So I started in development, and then I went to construction, and then I went to leasing. We didn't even have a marketing department. And I went out and worked. The year that I got married, I went and worked on a job site in Princeton, New Jersey, which was close to where we moved when we first got married. And I worked there for, I don't know, maybe a year and a half. Then a position opened. We took on a third party management project, and they asked if I wanted to go work in that office. And it was a mixed use project. So it had retail, an office, a hotel, a daycare center, a bank. It was something completely new for the company and obviously completely new for me. But because I had kind of gained a little bit of knowledge and experience in each different area, it was a good fit for me. And that's where I really found my place. I loved working with the retail tenants, although the retail at that time, that property was not in great shape. We wound up converting it to outlets, retail outlets. And the outlet industry then was just coming into its own. I mean, there were only a handful of retail outlet centers in the country at the time. So, I worked on the marketing of that. I worked on the leasing of that. I worked in the property management office. Again, I was the number one person to deal with the tenants, and, you know, went through all those changes and getting involved in the outlet industry. I met lots of people, and I did all the conventions, and I traveled, and it just kept growing and growing. And I was really happy. I really loved my job. I loved the people I worked with. But over the years, what was suffering was my family life. And I really wanted to be a mom. As much as I fought it, because I think a lot of us do, when we're climbing that corporate ladder and things are looking really good and we're happy with where we are professionally, you know, something always suffers, right? So my marriage was fine, or so I thought. My husband worked in heavy highway construction, so he was able to leave really early in the morning and get home earlier in the day, and he was an excellent cook, so he took care of the kids, you know, dinner, if daycare was involved at the time, or I had a nanny at a certain point, any of that kind of thing, he was great. We made a good partnership that way. So I don't know. I guess it was about the early 2000s. There started to be some shakeup in my company. We had gone through a lot of changes, and you know, it's true what they say: marketing is always the first thing to go. So I had to let a couple of the girls go in my group, and it was heartbreaking to do that. I had never really had to do that before, and I went to my boss and I said, you know. Well, I'll tell you why I did this. I was sitting by my pool one morning because we were now living in a different house that we had built, and we were really happy. We had put in a pool, and my daughter was probably 3 at this point, and my son would have been about 10. So read this article in Oprah magazine that I still have. And it's about doing the impossible. Like really thinking, what is something that you just really never could imagine yourself doing, or you could never imagine that you would be able to accomplish something.
Okay. So you know what? I'm going to stop right there for a second. We've got to take a really quick break. Okay. And I want to leave our listeners on that cliffhanger of what you saw in that magazine and the changes that it made for your life. So everyone just bear with us. It's a super quick break. We will be right back to hear the rest of what's important for us to know about Beth, and then we'll dig into some coaching with her. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts, and we want to thank each of you for making Superpower Up the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth. Because people like you have the courage to say that mindfulness, healthy living, disrupting reality, the pursuit of consciousness, responsible entrepreneurship, and radical parenting matter, we now amass over 1 million downloads monthly in more than 90 countries. Our numbers keep growing because there are far more people willing to live divergently than mass media wants to acknowledge. For you, the change makers, the light bearers, the way showers, we say thank you. If you're ready to take the next step in your evolution, go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz. And as Neva Lee Rekla, our youngest podcaster, likes to remind us, remember, we all have superpowers and we can change the world.
Okay, we're back. Today you're listening to episode 2 of our 4-part series, The Side Gig Explosion. And Beth just left us on a cliffhanger of a magazine article that sounds like maybe it made a big change in her life. Beth, are you ready to pick up where we left off?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you said it, Wendy. This was the moment. I mean, you know, to use an Oprah-ism, if you will, the aha moment, right? So I'm reading this magazine. I'm getting the chills right now thinking about it. I'm sitting by my pool. My husband's cleaning the pool. You know, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I'm drinking my coffee and I said to my husband, I just figured something out. I just figured out, because now I'm nervous. So, you know, probably a month before that, I started getting nervous, like, oh no, I'm going to lose my job. And you know, we weren't in a position for that to go so well for us financially. So I said to him, I think I just figured this out. So I explained it to him, and as he always did, he was like, go for it, you know, see what happens. So I went to work that Monday and I went into my boss's office. He was the president of the company and very good friend of mine. And I said to him, listen, I think I figured this out. I said, I can do this job as a consultant. And you don't have to pay me any benefits. We'll work out, you know, the compensation. I can come to the office as often as you need me to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to make a long story short, it worked. So I started my marketing company and I worked for them. I wound up taking on, as the property that I mentioned earlier in Princeton, we were still involved in that. As that was transitioning as well at the same time as the company, I started working for some of the tenants on figuring out what they were going to do. And then I took on some other development clients, et cetera, et cetera. Life was good. I was probably working more than ever, but I was home, which was a wonderful thing. So, well, then, you know, the real estate market took a dive, and commercial real estate, you know, sort of rides that wave, but sometimes also marches to the beat of its own drum. So I lost a lot of clients, and we moved again. My husband took a different job and we decided to move closer to his work. So we moved to the Jersey Shore, which was, you know, a beautiful place to take on the next chapter in our life. And I went to a fundraising breakfast for the playground at the kids' elementary school in our new town. And I met a gentleman who was a real estate broker, and we, you know, hit it off, had a little conversation, and he said, why don't you put your license with me? And, you know, if you ever decide to do any commercial work, you can come and work with me. So I decided to do that. It just made sense logistically. And when my business really started going down the tubes, I jumped ship and went and worked with him. I kept a couple clients here and there just to do some little things, but so I became a broker. So now I added that to the mix. And, you know, it was interesting. And as things happen, right, that's what I was doing. And it was very part-time. The money wasn't terrific, but I was making some and I was learning and I was meeting people in the area and whatever. And then my husband died. So I was home, you know, and I could be home. We had kind of already, it's not like all of a sudden I lost my job too. I was still able to do whatever I needed to do. I stayed home for a long time. My son left for college actually 2 weeks after we lost my husband. So there was a lot going on. But through all that, you know, I started doing the work on myself. Grief counseling played a huge part in my life. I was introduced to somebody very early on, you know, within the first 2 weeks. And I stayed with her for years and I still am in touch with her. But what I learned about myself was that I really didn't want to work for somebody else and make them money. I wanted to work for myself, but it wasn't about the money for me. It was about helping someone else. Because when I was at my worst, there were people there for me. And I have always been the go-to person, whether it was, you know, my sister-in-law, my sisters-in-law, or my friends, or my kids' friends. I just always had that. So I decided to become a life coach. I became a personal trainer. I kept my marketing company going. So, you know, I still do that at this time. But I got certified as a life coach about 18 months ago and started a business, sort of casting a wide net, which there's differing opinions on that professionally. But, you know, I guess I'm still struggling there, to be honest. And I'm not giving up. I think that this time where we are extremely isolated and, you know, I've been writing a lot about being alone more than ever, you know, feeling that sense of aloneness now more than ever. But I'm taking advantage of that. And I'm really digging deep to decide, you know, to narrow down who is it that I really can help. I know there, I know who I want to help, but who can I really, who really wants to hear or needs to hear my story and what I have to say that can help other, you know, primarily other women. And it's, you know, with my professional background and then going into my personal story, I think that I cover a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's that younger woman who's fighting tooth and nail, trying to, you know, work her way through her professional life and isn't sure how she's going to do it or where she's going to go, or maybe it's that widow or that single woman who, like me, is facing the dating scene like it's the two-headed monster that nobody ever wants to face. So, you know, I moved to Florida in the fall. My youngest is in college, so I have a lot of new things in my life that I am super grateful for, and it's I look at it all as opportunity. So
fantastic. That is some story, and I'll tell you, you are not alone in starting a business thinking, wow, I've got this body of experience behind me that makes me ideal for this business, and then it doesn't move forward the way that you thought. So that is, especially in coaching, especially in solopreneur side gigs, they operate so differently than other businesses operate, other entrepreneurial endeavors operate, that I think that many of us find ourselves stuck at the startup So you and I have two sessions together here on the podcast. What would you, Beth, like to have? What would you like to create or have happen as a result of our work together?
Well, I think that focusing on, so just to give you some background. So I'm definitely, my marketing business is up and running, which just happened to fall in my lap, believe it or not, when I moved here to Florida. So I am working on that, but at the same time, and my heart is really more so in the coaching. I think that I would like to, you know, I've gotten a lot of differing, not really opinions, I guess it's people's accounts of their experience, you know, as far as coaching being, I don't want to say questionable, but people aren't sure about coaching, right? So for me, I guess with you, I would like to maybe focus a little bit more so on gaining that confidence and, you know, really knowing who my ideal client is, which I believe that I do, but, and not having that, what my one friend calls head trash, you know, that voice that constantly says, oh, but no, you know, why do they want to hear that from you? Or what makes you think that you're so, you're such an expert in the field, you know, sort of tackling that and being able to put it aside to, you know, to really go forward with confidence, because I've done all the behind the scenes stuff. I got the I did the branding. I got the website. I write, you know, I'm a writer. So I write blogs and I post on social media and I do all of that, which is great. But what I really want to do is coach people. So can you help me kind of clean out those cobwebs?
Yeah, that's a perfect place to start. So the head trash, what is the message that it's giving you?
I think it's probably that I'm not that my story isn't unique, although again, you know, because of my situation, I know a lot of widows and there are all kinds of stories out there, but just that as a coach, I'm not unique, because there are so many people who are acting as coaches, or people who haven't even gone through any training who are calling themselves coaches. And, you know, I'm a rule follower. So I worked really hard to do what I thought was the right thing to do and the right way to do it. So getting that first, you know, I tend to take people's advice to heart. So somebody told me through my training to, you know, give something away for free to get people to, you know, pay attention, to get people's attention. Well, I tried that and it failed miserably. I created a 25-page workbook, which I think is fantastic, but of course I do because I wrote it. But I've tested it out on some people and they're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is fun. And I said, oh good, that's what I wanted it to be, was fun. But I haven't been able to really do anything with it. So I recently got advice that said, don't ever give anything away for free, because you're devaluing yourself. So then there goes the head trash, right? So then I'm like, okay, so which is it?
Okay. So before we dig into the head trash about not being unique, let's dig into the head trash about advice.
Okay.
And this is going to sound a bit like a paradox, because it's going to come out like advice. And I suppose it is. Advice sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is not to say that learning sucks. We can learn so much from experts in different fields. But if you line up 50 experts, you're going to get 50 different pieces of advice. They might fall into 5 or 6 different buckets, but you'll still get 50 different pieces of advice. And so those of us out in the world who consider ourselves ongoing learners, who read and do the webinars and get the certifications and the education to do the work that we want to do and to grow ourselves, can get trapped in rolling from one person's methodology to another, from one silo of advice to another. And if you think about it in the way that you have already unfolded your own life, Beth, the way that you've learned to coach, it's exactly the opposite of that. What we need to do, both in this process of growth and in our process as coaches of helping other people grow, is to take the bits and pieces of what we learn and apply it to what resonates for us and build our own model. Mm. Right? We have to build on the information that we have to suit ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay. So we're going to make a little rule here for you and I, and that's nobody's advice counts except for yours when it comes to you. All right. And let's put a pin in those more tactical pieces of should I do a freebie or should I, and we'll come back to that either at the end of this session as part of homework or in our next session. But first, let's see what this underlying thing is. I'm not unique as a coach. What makes a unique coach?
Well, I guess because I follow, you know, as we all do at this point, the way that the world works, I follow so many people on social media and I read a lot. I don't know what makes a unique coach. I guess I look at other people differently than I look at myself. And, you know, I, in my heart of hearts, I feel and I know that I have something pretty special to share with people that could help them. And I get that feedback when I post on Instagram or people read my blog posts or whatever it is. So it's getting it to that next level of getting coaching clients, you know, transitioning those people that are whose attention that I'm getting into a coaching client. So, you know what I'm saying is like a lot of it seems like it's well lined up, but then there's some missing pieces. And
okay,
so I might be missing something because I mean I think that I'm unique in some ways, but I don't need to be, you know, shouting it from the mountaintop that I'm the most unique coach out there. I don't think that I need to do that. I think I just need to be unique for my own audience.
And what do you think makes you that?
My experience.
Mm-hmm. What else?
My willingness and ability to want to help people.
Mm-hmm. What else?
My confidence.
Mm-hmm. What else? All the coaches have that.
My story.
Mm-hmm. And what is your story about?
My story is about becoming, you know, professionally becoming someone who I never thought I never saw myself in that position ever in a million years. Overcoming some tough challenges in my personal life, my marriage, losing my dad young, losing my husband young, and my mother, you know, I think I'm a really great mom. I have a great relationship with my kids and doing all of that while I was grieving and you know, trying to keep everybody else's ship afloat in addition to my own. I think that makes me unique.
Yeah. So the thing that makes you unique is that you are you. There is only one version of you. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of noise right now in this industry that you and I share, in the coaching industry. The marketplace doesn't know exactly what coaching is. And there are different people who are attacking it from just a word. I'm actually a consultant, or I'm actually a... And there are people who are certified in credentialing and going at it from a very traditional coaching standpoint. The marketplace is confused about coaching, and the business words, the business advice out there is about niching, right? Because a lot of coaches aren't making it. People right. are becoming coaches because in this ever-changing world, those with a voice of service are being called to serve, and they're putting themselves out there, and they're not doing well, right? They're not doing well in their businesses. And that's separate from this thing that you're asking, what makes me unique as a coach? Because most of them are failing as coaches in business, not because they're not niching properly, mm-hmm. right? But because they don't know how to be in business.
Yeah.
Because it's there's a lot of bits and pieces.
Right.
Right? They're two separate things. Being in business is one thing, and serving as a provider is another thing. Okay? So we don't want to confuse, and they're both important pieces of this puzzle that you're playing with. But we don't want to confuse the two. This first one is really about dialing into, I am unique because I'm me, right? If we think of any other profession, that there are a million out there, doctors, attorneys, accountants, why do you pick the one that you pick?
Right, because you can, yeah, because you feel it. You relate to them, or
exactly
it feels right for you.
And they're all, we make the assumption that they're all qualified, they're good at what they do, they know what they're doing, right?
Right.
But we pick the one that we pick because we can relate to them, to that person, to that skill set, to the way that they deliver it, mm-hmm. right? And it's the same thing as a coach. So as you're looking at yourself in this new endeavor and saying, why am I unique? Simply because you are.
Right.
We all may have a similar skill set, but only one person is going to relate to the world the way that you do.
True.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep, totally.
Okay. So now that we know that there's only one Beth out there, how do you want to interact with the world? What is it that you want to deliver?
You know, it's really important to me, especially now at this point in my life, you know, again, being almost 10 years into this awful club that nobody ever wants to be in, as a widow, you know, I really want to deliver hope. Mm-hmm. I want people to, and it doesn't have to be, again, it's not just about somebody who's lost a spouse. It could be somebody who's really stuck in an awful job, and they just want to do something different. Or it's somebody who's in a really awful family situation. Somebody who's single and can't find someone, or in an awful marriage and doesn't see any way out. You know, it's all of those things. You have to have hope, and you have to have faith, and you have to believe that there are things that you can do to make changes and to get to the next step.
Okay. So that's crystal clear.
Yeah.
Right? You are here. You are called to serve because you are called to serve hope, faith, resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we get into the tactical piece. If you had to guess, and remember we have this rule between you and I right now that all of those experts, none of their advice matters, just what you have taken so far from that their advice matters at this point, okay? Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, what is standing between you and bringing coaching clients into your business, right? Because you bring marketing clients in.
Yep.
It's not like you have a problem being in business. You know how to be a businesswoman.
Yes.
You know how to bring in clients. If you had to guess what is standing between you and bringing coaching clients into your business, what would your guess be?
I think just getting myself out there.
Hmm.
More so than I have, you know.
Interesting, right? Because you first said, well, I'm on the social media and I put out of this. And
yeah.
How are you not getting out there?
Well, I guess that's the part that I'm still trying to figure out. You know, it's, you know, I mean, we all follow so many people on social media, right? And I tend to read a lot of the same people's posts, but then sometimes I'm like, enough already, you know, like you just posted three times yesterday and, mm-hmm. and I don't want to do that. You know, I want to keep it. I want to make a strong presence, but I want it to be quality. You know, I want to, and maybe it is once a day. I mean, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, I come from the old school marketing program, right? I mean, there was no email when I first started working. You know, I know my kids are like, no email, you know, there were no phones. There wasn't any of that. So marketing my business, my coaching practice, or my coaching, marketing myself as a coach using social media, I find it very challenging.
How do you market yourself as a marketing business?
It's a lot of word of mouth. It's a lot of word of mouth and, yeah, it's definitely referral based. You know, I don't market myself at all because it's all experience.
People experience you and they want more.
Yes.
Okay. As a coach, how can you get people to experience you? Right? There's a lot of noise out there on social media.
Yes.
How can they experience you? Where are there opportunities for people to experience you?
Well, you know, one of the things I would love to do is have a group. So, you know, somebody suggested to me about having doing a meetup, you know, on the meetup site where you can plan an event and you have to find a location and invite people. And I've tried it. And I tried it twice and I didn't, you know, luckily I didn't have to show up and not have anybody there. I mean, they have to RSVP on the site. And I just didn't get anyone. And someone asked me how much I charged and I said, I didn't charge. And they said, that's why you didn't get anyone. So I go,
So as a marketer, what do you think about that?
I guess I agree with it. I mean, I know, you know, if I put on my marketing consultant hat, you know, I know, again, I come from the Northeast, so it's a little different down here in Southwest Florida, but I'm adjusting, I'm figuring it out. You know, it's, I know what I'm worth as a marketing consultant. I know what people should pay or expect to pay when they want me to write an article for their magazine or copy for their brochure or, you know, whatever it is. On the coaching side, I guess I picture myself kind of back in that, you know, to kind of create a parallel. I've tried to do this to help myself, you know, get a visual on it, is I'm you know, I'm 22 years old or 20 years old, and I'm back in that seat, in that secretarial chair, my first job. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm nervous, and I'm, you know, I don't have that lack, that feeling of lack of experience, like, you know, that floundering, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have that as a coach, because I do feel confident. I feel very confident in my message and what I can offer to people. I think it's, maybe it's the widow thing where I think too much about how much to charge somebody.
Tell me what that means. It's the widow thing.
Well, you know, I met a lot of widows. When my daughter went to a grief group at this amazing place in New Jersey, amazing. And we had a parent group. We met in an ancillary building on the property while the kids were meeting every 2 weeks. And I sat in this group and I heard a lot of stories, really sad stories, devastating stories. So many, I mean, there were men there too. There were widowers. And then I call it, I defected from the group because it got very depressing for me as I was working through my grief. I moved on from the group and I wound up meeting with a few of the other widows down the street at a restaurant. We'd have a glass of wine while the kids were in their group. And it really was a nice progression to, you know, the next level of that camaraderie for me. But I continued to hear the stories of financial hardship and fear, you know, financially, what am I going to do? I don't, you know, a lot of these women never worked or hadn't worked in 20 years or, you know, had now had to support their families. So I think I have that stuck in my mind that I don't want to say insulting. I'm assuming that people don't have money or that they're not going to want to pay.
Okay. So there are a couple of important pieces to that, because part of it is true, right? Part of it is true. There are lots of people out there who need the service of somebody delivering hope, faith, and resilience, who don't have a big pocketbook.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people out there who do. Okay. So as you're choosing what you're putting out in the world, as far as getting in front of people, getting out there, it's important for you to recognize who you want to serve and how.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you've built a business in the past, so you understand that as in building a business, you need to have a budget, you need to have some goals, you need to have a plan, you need to know what you either need or want to earn from that business. Otherwise, it's a hobby, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so you understand how to create that already as a businesswoman.
Yep.
As a coach, that doesn't necessarily have to translate into dollars per hour,
mm-hmm.
right? As a coach, there are infinite, just like as a marketer or anything else, ways that you could deliver your service to people
right.
and package it in ways that they can receive it. So that clarity piece of who am I serving is the first thing to discover. And I would say this is the most important thing for any business, because really, those of us who took the leap and said, I want to do a side gig, I want to turn a passion into a business for myself, are doing it because it is passion, because it is vocation, and it is mission-based for us, right?
Yes, for sure.
So pick who you want to serve and how, and do not feel badly about it. If you want to serve the Fortune 100 CEOs who feel like nobody on earth understands them and they can't let down their guard, and you want to have this enormous price tag attached to it, do it. If you want to serve the women who barely have enough to open up their purse and buy themselves, you know, a manicure once a month, you can serve them too. And both can be a viable business model. You just need to be crystal clear on who you want to serve.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So I'm thinking that to give you some homework for our next, and as you know, as a coach, homework is a co-creation. So just like advice is something that you take little bits and pieces and build your own, this is kind of a jumping off point. And what you do with it, I want you to just go with it the way it makes sense for you. Spend some time like letting your mind be completely blank. Let go of every single thing that you thought you wanted to do or should do in this business so far, right? That they're still there for you if you need them. But just for this exercise, let's let go of it. Pretend that you're starting from scratch and answer the question, if nothing else mattered, if I could absolutely not fail at this, what people would I serve and why?
Okay.
And the more you can, and you said you're a writer, the more you can give us, give yourself and us a detailed response of that, the more we're going to be able to help you come up with the answer to the next questions about, well, then how do I do it? And then what am I offering and how do I get it out to them? And all of that flows from the detailed nuances of the answer to this first question. Who do I want to serve and why?
Yep. I like that.
All right, cool. So on A Glimpse Inside, on the coaching episodes, we always give some homework. And for listeners inside, if you're starting a business, no matter what your business is, this is a great question for you to answer also. But of course, we also offer an additional tool on every episode. And today, I'm going to offer you one called the compass point. One of the pitfalls of being a solopreneur is that shiny object syndrome, where we say, oh, that's lovely. I think I should start a webinar. Or, oh, this person said I need to give out something free, so I'm going to create a 25-page workbook. Or we move from one thing to another. Oh, this is a great idea. Oh, this is, we get all lit up and excited, and we bump from one thing to another. It happens as a solopreneur all the time, and it takes us off our game. A little aside, it happens in our real life too, our regular life.
Amen to that.
Right? We it's very difficult to pick our focus and then build our goals on that. And especially when the goals are big and have lots of steps to them, as life happens and gets in the way, we get lost and we lose our focus and we lose our direction. So when you create a compass point, you've got this one thing that guides every choice you make in your life, every goal you set, every little thing that you do. You ask yourself the question, does it get me closer to or farther from my compass point? Does setting this goal get me closer to or farther from my compass point? Does going on this date get me closer to or farther from this my compass point? Does baking these brownies, anything in your life, you can ask the question, does it get me closer to or farther from my compass point? Okay. And in this way, we've got this constant filter. So no matter what life is throwing at us, we know that we're always rolling forward. We're always moving to grow into this version of ourselves that we most want to be. And the compass point itself is a feeling state. Okay, so you figure out what your compass point is, by asking yourself the question, how do I want to feel about myself? How do I want to feel about my life? And the way that I describe this to my clients is, if this were your very last day, what would you have created throughout your life that makes you throw your arms in the air and say, oh, yes, I did it. Mm-hmm. I lived the hell out of this life. Mm. Right? Yeah. And you'll start by saying things. I'll give you an example of a client currently in one of my groups who said, oh, without question, she didn't know where she was going with her business. Actually, it was a conversation about that. And she's, oh, without question, I would travel. I would travel. I would do this. I would. The answer to the question initially is like a stuff thing. It's either something that we want to do or create. It's not a feeling state. So you start there and you ask yourself why. Mm-hmm. And when we asked her why, and she was describing why she liked to travel, she said all kinds of things about adventure and all of these pieces that travel meant. But the word she used over and over again was alive. Mm. So her compass point was to feel alive, right? Words are so important to us. And for each of us, they have different associations. I have another client whose compass point is to be proud of herself and of her life. I have another person who it's just love. I want to be, feel, give love. All of those things ultimately mean the same thing.
Right.
But to us on the inside, like the word has great passion behind it. And so to find that compass point for yourself and then use it as a guide. Is this my right person? Well, if I'm serving these people, does it get me closer to or farther from my compass point? Hmm. So I challenge you all to work on your compass point and figure out what yours is and use it as a way to guide your life. So Beth, I want to really thank you for doing the deep work with us and playing all in today. What would you say is your key takeaway so far?
I think it's to really drill down. That's my key takeaway, is that I have a lot of it figured out, but I need to do some soul searching and to just really drill down deep, because it's there.
It's there. For all of us, it's there. And it's usually a little layer of, you know, that head trash saying, psh, but that's not for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, we just got to peel that around because it's there. All right. I also want to thank everybody else for listening in with us today. And in fact, if you want to do more than just listen in, I'd like to invite you to come on the show. You can be a coaching client here on A Glimpse Inside. You can be a guest. You can just share your story with us and we can use pieces of it on the show if you'd like. So if you're feeling stuck in some area of your life, if you're grappling with some things that you can't quite put your finger on, but you know there's more for you, please reach out. Just go to aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com and there's a button there that you can click to share your story, and you can let us know if you just want to tell a story or if you want to come on the show. We'd love to have you on. If anonymity is important to you, you can use a pseudonym if you want, but truly, come and play with us. It's really, it benefits you and it benefits everyone. Your story is an important one. So Beth will be back here again next week for episode 3 of our series on the side gig explosion. For now, she's off to play with all of this stuff in her real life. I hope you will play with it in yours as well. And if you want to, again, access our tool that we just gave, Compass Point, or come on the show, you can find it at aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com. Until next time, big love.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.